St John resident Brianna Mazarol is the founder of a new initiative aiming to improve the alert and response programs for vulnerable children in the community who go missing. Mazarol was inspired to investigate New Brunswick's alert system for vulnerable children in the wake of the disappearance and death in mid-July in Calgary of Parker Wells, an 11-year-old boy with autism. With concerns about the response system in New Brunswick, Mazarol formed Every Minute Matters and is consulting with families, caregivers, first responders and other community professionals and organisations to better understand where gaps may exist when vulnerable children go missing. Local 107.3 FM spoke with Mazarol about the progress and aims of the initiative, as well as her own experiences as a parent of a vulnerable, non-verbal 8-year-old child.
Just recently, I've started the initiative called Every Minute Matters. It is a community-led advocacy initiative focused on exploring ways to make response time better in New Brunswick for any missing vulnerable children. So July 18th, I woke up and it was the second day since Parker had gone missing. So Parker Wells is an 11-year-old boy. He went missing in Calgary in July, and after 2 weeks, he was found deceased. It's heartbreaking. I received notifications about him missing and his disappearance, and then I got looking into the programs that we have in New Brunswick. Do we have things that would help in this sort of circumstance? So all of these questions came to me sort of as this was going on with Parker, and the things that I found for New Brunswick were very minimal. It was not exactly what I was hoping for as a parent of a vulnerable child. So my son does elope, and he is also nonverbal. So we did have one instance where he eloped and we were unfortunately very close to water. It could have been a very horrible situation. Thankfully, it was not. But for many children, that is not the outcome. So we're looking to see how we can make families, communities, and first responders work together in order to have a response that works and is impactful for these children that don't meet the requirements for an Amber Alert.
What are the particular needs that are greater for more vulnerable children, for neurodiverse children?
Yeah, so I mean, essentially the system that we have now is the Amber Alert. In Nova Scotia, they have a vulnerable person alert for certain situations, but nowhere else in the country has that. So the rules of the Amber Alert is that the child must be kidnapped. There is no just wandering off or walking out the door. You have to meet specific requirements. So what we're hoping to have is a more efficient alert that's dedicated to vulnerable children, an immediate alert to the area that the child is last seen. So with vulnerable children, especially autistic children who elope, there's never a specific reason why that we can tell at the time. Sometimes it's just they've got an idea and they're going for it. Sometimes it's just something's happened and they need to get away from the place that they're in. In my case, we have many safety features in the house. We have different locks on the doors, windows, baby gates. My child's 8. So there's lots of different things that you can have in place, but this is for when all of those things fail and something happens that's outside of the parent's control or the caregiver's control. The immediate alert is important because they will run very far and very fast, or they will hide in a quiet area. Sometimes they will not appear lost to strangers, and it may seem like there's absolutely nothing wrong. And a lot of them don't have a way to communicate that as well. So the main focus of the alert system is to have a photo of what the child looks like, maybe include a way that they converse if they are nonverbal. Is there ways that they can be approached without having bad behaviors that scare them? So it's really just looking at the entire thing as a whole. Now, the alert system is one part of it, but we're really hoping to have a full response across the province that takes into account everything that the families are hoping to have, what the first responders actually believe will help and how community organizations and professionals can assist in making that happen. So we're looking at multiple things, different training for first responders, more access for families into different programs that are available to them. A lot of people seem to not be aware of the programs that do currently exist, but they don't exist everywhere in the province. So we're really trying to make it everywhere.
And so obviously this is quite early days at the moment in terms of your working on this. And I'm just wondering kind of what stage you're at the moment. And I understand you're kind of consulting with people. I mean, do you want to talk a little bit about where you are and who you're consulting with?
Right now we're in the listening stage, that's what we're calling it. So we've taken forms to the community. They can be found on the Every Minute Matters Facebook page, but we're also going out in the community and trying to meet with families and also first responders and professionals. We've gotten quite a bit of feedback already, which is wonderful, but we're trying to get as many forms and as many perspectives as we can to see where the gaps are. Maybe as a parent, I'm missing a bunch of gaps that first responders see. So what I'm trying to do is put them all together, make sure that every area is covered to the best of our abilities before we take it to a petition level.
What do you want people to know and understand kind of about differences in needs with some neurodiverse children? And obviously everyone's different, but in certain vulnerable people, what are the differences between that and other vulnerabilities for children without those needs?
My day compared to a person who has neurotypical children is very different. It's subtle things and sometimes it's major things. So for my child, there's a lot of sounds that can make him scared or cause him to change his demeanor. Sense of touch sometimes can be overwhelming, or sometimes he needs a very specific touch. Communication, where he's nonverbal, we do have an AAC device, but a lot of our life is a guessing game. And it's just very little things. Like, he would not be able to tell you that he needs to have water. To be honest, I don't think he acknowledges at this point that he's thirsty or that he's hungry. We just do it and he's used to the routine of it. So if he's out of his zone and away from people that understand him, then basic life skills are just not there. He's somebody that requires 24/7 care, and that is the same with many other families as well. So I do feel like there was a lot of maybe just not understanding. There was a lot of comments online about how, you know, the caregivers, it's their responsibility, it's the parents' responsibility, which is true. Of course, parents should be watching their children at all times. But it's about more than that. It's about, you know, the exhaustion and everything that you do, every waking moment is based on keeping them safe. So the one second that that doesn't work out, it can become an immediate emergency. And they are much more likely to be drawn to water and dangerous places just based on sensory needs. So that is a major concern.
Are there ways in which people can get involved and find out more?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, as of right now, everyone can follow the Facebook page. They can follow our journey along the way. We do have an email, which is everyminutematters.nb@gmail.com. So any questions, concerns, you can reach out to us. But it's really just about sharing the word and what we're trying to achieve and reaching as many people as possible. We want to have as much input as we can to know that the support will be there for when we're actually ready to present this change. The preparation is the important part here. Preparation saves time, and time saves lives. And at this point, we're trying to prevent things from happening. We're not waiting until something happens.
If you have a tip, an idea, or a story you think the community should hear about, you can contact Local 107.3 FM at iona@cfmh.ca. This is Iona Coe for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.